What we put together were five areas that we want to focus on across the department that we believe will move us forward in our acquisition and procurement activities. The first one is the need to own our work. We live in an environment and work in an environment where there is a lot of oversight on what we do and a lot of reviews. And what we're finding is sometimes this increased oversight results in a dilution of accountability, not a strengthening of accountability. And we want to make sure that all of our employees, all of our teammates across the department understand that they need to own their work. They need to be responsible for decisions. Even if you look at the FAR, it talks about pushing decisions down to the most appropriate level. And even across the department, we've instituted a process called RAMP, where we look at reports, approvals, measurements, meetings, and policies to try to make sure that we're making decisions at the best level. And when you look at a decision that has to go up six levels of reviews, you really have to wonder who has ownership of that decision. So that's the first one of our foundational elements. The second one is that we need to move away from just focusing on procurement rules and regulations and focus on principles. So we put together a memo that I signed out back in December that talks about our 10 procurement principles. And it really flows well and supports what Ann Rung talked about late last year in the fall at the EOC conference in Williamsburg when she mentioned about the focus that we've had on rules and we need to move toward a principle-based discussion. Too many times we found internally in the VA and even when we're talking with our private industry partners, we quickly moved to FAR speak. And while those of us in the procurement community need to be very familiar with the FAR, we shouldn't expect our customers to be as familiar with the FAR, but we can talk about principles that guide us as we move forward. Another item for us is how do we engage with industry? I heard when I took this job back last spring, both from people inside the VA and from industry, that we are hesitant to engage with industry and our discussions are much too guarded. So this is another case where I put together a memo and we signed out last December that really encourages people to engage with the industry all throughout the process, to have robust, meaningful discussions with them. I refer to some of the work that OMB and OFPP did on the Mythbusters, because there are some good guidelines in there about how to engage with the industry, because we really need that engagement with the industry to understand the state of the market and then to understand how we can best put together our solicitations so that we get the best proposals back, so that we get the best solutions for veterans and taxpayers. Another item for us is that we need to move away from so much of a heavy transactional activity to more of an ordering environment. And as you look across the department, in too many cases, we are buying things multiple times across the organization in a very transactional way. And one of the things that we've figured out that we really have to make progress on is understanding what our demand is, understanding our requirements so we can put the right vehicles in place so that we can do that procurement once, but then have ordering officers, have people across the department be able to leverage that in a way that doesn't recreate a whole new procurement activity. And the last is about collaboration. Procurement and acquisition is a team sport, and we really have to collaborate with each other within the Department of Veterans Affairs and outside with our industry partners as well. So that's a quick rundown of the five elements that we've put in place and that we're working really across the department.
Great. Let's talk a little bit about your engagement with industry. I know I heard your Chief Information Officer, Laverne Council, talk, I guess, a couple months back now, and she really emphasized a need to buy first rather than make first. She talked about a really ambitious timeline to get a lot of those decisions made. So what is your office doing to kind of incorporate her vision, but also the work that you just mentioned, this need to engage with industry and focus more on the principles rather than necessarily the rules?
Well, so first you mentioned the word ambitious in Laverne in the same sentence, and that's very appropriate to do so. She has been a super addition to the leadership team at the VA. She's got a breadth of experience. She has really a new and a fresh perspective that's helping us think differently. And really, if you're around her any amount of time, her energy and enthusiasm just really makes her a pleasure to be around. So it's been really great having her on the team. And her thoughts about buy first rather than make first are really in line with some of the principles that I mentioned in my earlier discussion about our five principles, about our five foundational areas, because one of our principles of procurement is that we really want to use and maximize commercial products and services. And what Laverne is talking about is how do we engage with the industry? How do we understand what the state of the market is? What's the best practice? And then how can we leverage that inside the VA? Now, too many times we in the VA, and I've worked in three other cabinet agencies, and they all have this in common. We'll tend to want to focus on a unique solution that's just for us. And what Laverne is helping us do is to step back a little and say, hey, if there's some best practices out that industry has uncovered or even in the public sector that they've uncovered that they have solutions for, let's look at those and really take a hard look at them on how we could use them and leverage them versus doing a development effort solely for a VA solution. So we want to partner with her on that. We're working close with her because the better that we understand her business needs and where she's going to as an enterprise within IT, the better we'll be able to be her trusted business advisor, help put the right strategies together, and help her leverage the market to get where she's trying to go. So it really flows in well with our procurement principles. We want to leverage the commercial sector. There may be times where we do have to make something internally, or maybe we have to make a piece of something. But Laverne is really driving us for both value in terms of dollar and time to really leverage a solution that might already be out there.
So two follow-up questions for you based on that. One, it seems as if the conversation that we're having and the goals that Laverne Council talked about are really focused on the mission. And so I was looking for some comments on that. And then also wanted to know what industry's response has been to your move to, you know, increasingly collaborate more with them and work with them a little bit more.
Sure. So on the first one, it does always for us start about the mission of the VA. But as I say that, we realize that there's a lot that has to go on for that mission to be accomplished. And we started talking about our organization, and Bob McDonald has been leading us through some leader-developing leader sessions. And we're using a framework that talks about front stage, on stage, and backstage. Now, there's a lot of people in the VA that participate, if you think about it, on stage. It's the clinician in the room with the patient. It's the person reviewing the claim in Veteran Benefits Affairs. It's the person that is at our national shrines supporting the internment activities there. And there's a lot of that on stage activity that happens. But if you think about a play, there's a lot you see on stage, but there's a lot that's happening backstage that you don't see. And Laverne and I are working in a backstage environment where our job is to help enable success on stage. So while we always will start with the focus of the mission, we all need to understand what's happening on stage and then understand what our respective roles are backstage to help enable the best veteran experience on stage. Industry's response about this has really been phenomenal. They've been open to discussions with them. They've given us some ideas and inputs on how to strengthen the communication. They've given us some clear feedback on some areas they think we need to do better in, and one was how do we communicate the need and that it's okay and, in fact, encouraged to participate and engage with the industry. So we're meeting regularly with some of the consortium and industry associations, as well as meeting with some of the vendors one-on-one to try to get their input. But as you can imagine, most of industry largely welcomes more discussion with the government.
To talk a little bit about the first principle that you mentioned, owning your work, I think that ties in a little bit to the situation with the Aurora Hospital project. And I know that a lot of the decisions made that were made around that project were made before you assumed this role. But what are some of the lessons that you've learned from that project, and how are you applying it to some of these principles that you mentioned and your work as a whole?
Sure. So we're fortunate to have Stella Fieldes, who heads up our construction and facilities management office. And they have looked at what lessons that we could pull out, not just from Aurora, but from the other studies that have been done to look at construction within the VA. And we put in place several activities. For example, we've made changes on how we budget, design, build, manage, really the whole flow of the construction management effort. We're putting in construction management processes to really ensure that we look at the full life cycle of an effort. We're establishing integrated master planning so that we really start with well-articulated, well-founded, thorough requirements. We are working toward a 30% design before we start talking about cost and schedule. In the past, when we just barely had a concept in mind, we would go ahead and start talking about cost and schedule. Way too early in the process, we didn't have enough definition of our requirement or our potential solutions or analysis of alternatives to really have a meaningful discussion about cost and schedule. So we're waiting now till we get to that 35% point. So now we have a much better idea of our requirement. We've got a good idea of what some of our potential solution paths are. So when we first start putting out a number, we have a much higher degree of confidence in that number. We're implementing rigorous requirements control processes. In the past, we have not done as much focus work on managing our requirements process. We've not had a robust change management framework in place so that once a requirement's identified, we really execute that requirement. We left it too easy for people to come in their mind, for the right reasons, want to add and change requirements. But as any student of acquisition and program management would tell you, requirements flux and requirements change is tough to go through and still manage a project on schedule and on budget. We're holding pre-construction reviews. We're integrating medical equipment planners into the process so that we understand what their needs may be in addition to the particular needs of the facility. We're piloting project management tools, and they're going to help us identify and monitor and see a risk or an issue as soon as possible. We aren't naive enough to know that there's not going to be issues with major construction projects. I think the Corps and others would say, if you're going to have a major construction project, you are going to have issues, and there's going to be things that come up. And in fact, I think it'd be more concerning if you manage a project and you don't think you have any issues. What we really want to do is to put in place a system that allows us to understand what those issues are as early as possible, so then we can address them. Having issues and not knowing about them is the worst. We know we're going to have issues, and we want to put a robust system in place that identifies those so that we can work them. Last fall, an assessment was done that was based on the Choice Act that was passed, and one of those assessment sections was on our construction program. And they did their assessment, and they looked at the way the VA managed major construction across the federal government, and they came back with a conclusion that we're really on par with everybody else in the federal government. And while it's nice not to be below average, certainly us and Stella and her team weren't satisfied with being on par. So that's why they're really putting into place these programs, because they want to be above par. They want to provide the excellent service and facilities that our veterans deserve.
You mentioned that you're piloting some project management tools. Can you go into a little bit more detail about what those are?
So some of them were basic call schedule and performance activities and reviews that put in place different milestones to go through. And in fact, the Corps has been a good partner with us on this. They've had some processes in place for some time, and we've actually leveraged having a couple of people on detail to us as we're growing our system. So it's really a business information system that we're putting together that you can put in the information, understand what your variances are, and then tee those up in a red, yellow, green so that you can focus management attention where you need it.
And to speak a little bit more to the Aurora Hospital project, can you give us any kind of update as to how that's been going with the Army Corps of Engineers? Do you have a more concrete timeline as to when some of those things will start to get done?
We actually, last fall, we transferred construction agency for the Aurora Medical Facility to the Army Corps of Engineers. We did that in early November, and that coincided with the Army being able to put in place a fixed-price incentive contract for the completion of the construction. And we're scheduled to be complete for that early in 2018, but we'll be doing a handoff of buildings as we progress so that we'll get functionality before 2018, but 2018 represents the end where we've transferred all buildings. It is going to be an amazing campus to serve our veterans in an environment certainly that they deserve. But it is a multi-building campus, so as we go through working closely with VHA, who is the ultimate customer and the people that are providing the service at the campus, we're working with them so as we complete buildings, we can hand those off and they can start getting ready to put them into use. Certainly there's things after construction finishes that they need to do to get the building ready. There's other equipment, whether it's IT equipment, medical scanners, MRIs, and other types of large medical equipment that need to get in place. They need to staff up and run through processes. So we're really doing a phased transition, but we're scheduled to working with the Army Corps and the contract they have in place to be done early in 2018.
So switching gears a little bit here, I think some of my colleagues here at Federal News Radio had spoken with your predecessor before, and one of the issues that he talked about was maintaining a good acquisition and program management workforce. And I think at the time he had mentioned that there was not a steady pipeline of talent. Are you looking for more out of your workforce? What are you seeing?
Well, we're always looking for more folks to come in and join us on the mission. And we're also working on ways on how do we improve our current employee experience, how do we empower more people, how do we let them own their work more so they really feel more connected to the mission and how they're helping enable that mission. We do recognize, though, we do have some improvements we need to make in overall career management for acquisition and procurement professionals. But we recently hired just a terrific person to help us work this. Her name's Judith Dawson, and she has just brought a ton of energy and ideas on how we're going to manage our workforce. She's working on how do we blend and think about the bringing in seasoned expertise outside, how do we focus on growing our own professionals. We're looking at how do we engage more with colleges and universities. There's been several organizations and offices across the federal government that have gotten to a place where they're hiring in really people at the senior level, and that works for some places. But really, if you don't have a way to refresh your talent and start to grow that from within, you're going to lose some of the concept of what it means to be part of that organization. So we'll be looking at how do we engage with universities and college campuses to get people excited about coming into the federal service. We really think it's important to start bringing in some of that talent at the lower end and then growing them. You have to grow, you have to develop them, you have to challenge them, you have to empower them, you have to really get them connected to the mission, which is one of the easier things to do at the VA because it's so easy to fall in love and be passionate about the mission of serving veterans. In the area of program management, it is really tougher for us because much like civil organizations and agencies outside DOD, program management is still kind of an evolving concept. It's not as clearly defined as it is in the Department of Defense. So that means that we've got a lot to improve in there. But that improvement is really critical because the acquisition workforce is the key enabler in how you get effective outcomes that are in the taxpayers' best interest and best serve our veterans and our employees. And that relationship between program management professionals and procurement is really key. And I've had the opportunity to work with both of those and really committed to helping build that partnership at the VA. Part of that is how do you make sure you've got good requirements? I mentioned requirements on Aurora. Requirements is fundamental for any good acquisition to move forward. In fact, one of the principles we have of procurement is good requirements make for good contracts. As we evolve that capability to develop requirements and ensure the PMs understand their role and they're supported with a framework, it really becomes then about the recognition of the team sport aspect of acquisition. We really put major programs and major acquisitions in place when we're trying to drive organizational change. It's, in the end, it's not just about buying something from industry. It's about leveraging something from industry to help us do our job better. So it's as much as change management as it is anything. And that involves being a team and acting like an enterprise. We can't afford to act like disjointed stovepipes across the VA. That's one of the things our Deputy Secretary, Sloan Gibson, talks about repeatedly, how we need to learn to act like an enterprise across the VA, pulling teams together and working together to support the enablement of the mission. That succession planning, that building of the future, it's necessary. But it's necessary to do that in the context of where you are as an organization and what you're trying to do. And so that's why I think the work that Judith will be doing as she comes in, linked in with our principles and where we're trying to go with our five foundation elements, we think that'll offer people an environment that they'll want to come, be a part of, and be passionate about as they join and help us serve veterans.
Kind of speaking to that a little bit, I know that the department has had a lot of success in the past with the VA Acquisition Academy, and how does that fit into this career development and collaboration that you spoke of earlier?
Oh, so it's a great question. It's a central part of that because the VA Acquisition Academy is where we train and develop our acquisition and procurement professionals. So it's a great opportunity for us to take the procurement principles and take our five foundational elements and weave those in to the curriculum as people go through. The academy has really been a jewel for us at the VA. Ruby Harvey is our chancellor, and she's been now in place for a few weeks, and she just really brings a great skill set. And actually, in the terms of teamwork, she is really one of the leaders across the VA in helping bring people together. And one of the things that we really want to see we continue to leverage at the VA Acquisition Academy is focusing on the context and focusing on the framework. For example, on program management, as we teach program management, articulate the importance of requirements and how you need to define what SES looks like, what an analysis of alternative is, really kind of weave those into the curriculum in a meaningful way for the students that are going through there. And we have a large set of criteria, large set of curriculum and classes that we train at the VA Acquisition Academy. We've got over 500 educational offerings, and they work on competency gaps across the spectrum. We use FAI's Biannual Acquisition Workforce Competency Survey to help us understand some areas we need to focus on. We have our own acquisition human capital plan. And, of course, we do course evaluations, and we get input from the procurement leadership across the VA on what classes that we need to focus on and what things are they seeing from their workforce that we need to fresh up our curriculum on. As we look at that acquisition training mission, we also host some related developmental tracks. We do that related to prosthetics procurement. We also have a program of warrior to worker where we're developing wounded warriors and providing them opportunities to get back engaged in the workforce. And we also have programs focused on project and program management professionals. So it's really it's an integral part because it really provides an opportunity, a leverage point as people go through that you can, with consistency and purpose, talk about not just the technical aspects but the contextual aspects of their job.
CAOs and CFOs and the CIOs within government agencies are expected to collaborate a lot more recently because of things like FITARA. I'm wondering what that collaboration across the C-suite is like at your agency.
I would say it's improving and trending in the right direction. We get together at the assistant secretary level on a weekly basis to make sure that we're touching base with each other because we're working issues a lot in between. But at the heart of it, to a degree, good collaboration means you also need to have a good understanding of where the other person is coming from. And good collaboration also means that you don't have conflicts. Collaboration means when you have a conflict, you put it on the table and you talk about it in a very meaningful but respectful way. And so that's some of the discussions that we're really getting to at the department. We're getting past the phase where you really want to agree with everything to be able to say, well, I've got a different view on that. And as you see that play out, people get more open and more trusting, recognizing that really if we do focus on the mission of the VA and what's our role in helping enable that, coming together and having good ideas that may be different will help hone and shape the eventual solution, and we'll be better than we would have been with just a single thread of an idea. But part of that's about building trust. It's about having the right communication skills, and it's about having the right team. I think we clearly have the right team at the VA, and we're improving that, and not just during working hours. We get together after hours. In fact, if the snow allows us, we're planning, I think, tomorrow night is when we're getting together to have a kind of another dinner and chat outside to build that relationship. So I think the collaboration is improving. Part of that is being driven by us all recognizing the need to act as an enterprise. Silos happen without a lot of encouragement. So we recognize it takes work to move us out of that silo environment to one of real meaningful collaboration. Again, not collaboration without conflict, but collaboration where conflict can be put on the table, everyone's views respected as we work on really what the best solution is.